Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we consider the Lord's Supper, as we consider the events before and during and after that supper, I pray that we would think about the implications it has in our lives. May your Spirit speak to us as we read your word. And Lord, if there's anything in us that needs changing, I pray that you would speak to us and change us and help us to be willing to submit to your exhortation. Thank you, Father. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love supper. How about you? When Carol and I and our family lived in Texas, we had a family friend named Vicky that got involved in a business, you know, those multi-level marketing things, a business selling cookware. And it was a brand called Salad Master. And she asked if we were interested in hosting a party at our home, which included a free meal and prizes. What do you think I said? Of course, let's do it. Now again, Salad Master is a cookware brand like Califon, Ninja, KitchenAid, something like that, you know. They have pots and pans, skillets, a food chopper, and other cookware. And Vicky, she would make all sorts of things, but it was all on the stovetop, from lasagna to cake. It was great. I got to be her sous chef, so it was fun for me. All the food was cooked on medium-low heat, so that it wouldn't cause any of the nutrients to break down at high temperatures. I have to say it was much better tasting than the food prepared in our cookware. But the price, it was literally 10 times greater than you would pay for a typical cookware set. It's like comparing a bicycle to a motorcycle, right, in cost. Most people just couldn't afford it, just run down the street and buy a motorcycle. Now, the guests who came, because we would invite friends and you know, family, some reluctantly bought a set of cookware. You could buy different size sets, you know. Some reluctantly bought it on a payment plan. Others ate some food and walked away without buying anything. Fortunately for us, we got to host a meal and eat, plus we would get a prize for hosting the party. It was quite a blessing. The prizes were quite nice, actually, and we still have them and use them to this day. Now, in the Bible, there's a story of a meal. It was the Passover, specifically the Last Supper. It started when the disciples asked Jesus where they should prepare for the Passover. Now let's pick it up in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, starting with verse 12. Mark chapter 14, verse 12. The Bible says, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him," speaking to Jesus, obviously, "where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him." Now in the next slide. Verse 17, "And in the evening he came with the 12. I feel like I missed something there. Oh, yeah, here we go. Verse 14, "Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he'll show you a large upper room, finished and prepared. There, make ready for us. So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening, he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? In verse 20 and 21, he answered and said to them, it is one of the 12. Okay, it's one of you guys. Who dips with me in the dish. And then he says, the Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. Now Matthew adds this detail that's not found in Mark. Matthew 26:25, then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? Now, he was the last one to ask. And he, Jesus, said to him, you have said it. So Jesus informed Judas that he knew what was going on. Then jumping over to the Gospel of John, we see that Jesus told John who it would be. In John 13, 26 through 28, Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped. Now, the reason he answered John was because Peter leaned over and said, hey, ask him who it is. He's not telling us. And so John asked Jesus, and Jesus answered. He said, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. And having received the piece of bread, this is Judas, he then went out immediately, and it was night. Just a few things I want you to notice about this supper. First, it was prepared beforehand. It was prepared beforehand by the master of the house. The master had already prepared the room. Everything was furnished. Everything was ready to receive guests. It was furnished and prepared, and it reminds me of John 14, verses 1 through 3. It says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. All right? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's a place being prepared beforehand, isn't there? There was a table ready, a place for everyone. Amen? There was a place for everyone, and they all came to the supper. All 12 of the disciples. And then what happened? Jesus washed their feet, didn't he? They ate, he washed their feet, even whose? Even Judas's feet were washed. A betrayer was announced. That made him sad. You know, usually at supper, there's conversations, aren't there? And this supper, everything seemed to be going fine. Jesus washed their feet. Peter's feet were washed reluctantly, right? He was like, no, you can't wash my feet. It's like, if I don't wash you, you can't have a part of me. Okay, wash all of me. But then this betrayer was announced. And everything turned somber. And Chester read the quote from the lesson that it's not supposed to be a somber event, right? It's supposed to be a joyous event, remembering the sacrifice that was made for us so that what? We can be with him forever. Amen? So it's too often we focus on the somberness of the sacrifice rather than the joy of the resurrection, ascension, and soon return. But this was sad, especially because after being with Jesus for so long, after seeing all the miracles, after seeing all the blessings, after seeing lives touched, people healed, people brought back to life, who would dare want to betray Jesus? Is it I? Who would dare want to betray Jesus? Why? You know, we have discussions at supper. Sometimes they're good discussions, sometimes bad. This was a troubling one. And the sad part of this story is that at the end of the discussion, or whatever discussion was had, it was, is it I? The betrayer leaves. The betrayer leaves. He left the table. He left the room. And that was his last supper. And it's sad. It's a very sad story that and so I want you guys to think about who you are at the table. Jesus has a place for us, right? Jesus wants to wash us, to cleanse us, to purify us. He's offered himself, he's the bread of life, right? He's offered himself for us to eat freely, to eat of his word, to be filled, to be transformed by him. But could we be someone who betrays Jesus? I think it's a good question to ask ourselves. Would I or do I betray Jesus in any way? Do I betray him in the way I follow him? Do I betray him in the way I treat others? Do I betray him the way I think of myself? Do I betray Jesus? Would I dare betray Jesus after all he's done for us? After all he's done for me? Do I put myself before Jesus? Now, as I mentioned, some of us are preparing for Thanksgiving, right? My sister called me Thursday night asking, hey, are you on your way to mom's house right now? I was like, no, I'm reviewing sermons right now. Sitting on my couch, studying, preparing. She said, okay, well, are you still coming for Thanksgiving? I was like, Yeah, we're going Wednesday. You said you were going Sunday, the Sunday before. Change of plans. Can we still join you on Wednesday? Whoa. Yes, absolutely. So we're starting to make preparations. We talked about it, Carol and I and her and all the kids, all our kids will be there. Her son and his girlfriend will be there along with my sister's husband. We started talking about the menu, who's bringing what, reserving a place in her my mom's facility, a bigger room, because we don't all fit in her apartment. So now we have this big, she was able to reserve a room yesterday, and then another place we were going to watch a movie all together in as a family, an old, is that, I don't know. Or watch a funny movie together, an oldie. And so we're making preparations beforehand. There's room for everyone. Everyone will have a seat at the table. Feet will be washed, so to speak. Everyone's usually. What do we do on a plan like that? Usually, we all wear some nice clothes, right? There'll be plenty of food to eat. Too much food to eat. And I'm praying there will be no sad announcements, only good announcements. I know you guys have known that my mom's having a lot of health issues. And I'm surprised we're meeting together for this Thanksgiving. I really am. Her health has been in decline. I think she's had an infection since May, and it never really goes away. She's to the point where she's, resistant to all the antibiotics. Done one after the other. She gets better for like 3 or 4 days, and then she gets sick again with a different strain, different antibiotic, so on and so on. So hopefully good announcements, no sad ones. I think we'll all be there till the end of the party, supper. We'll be nice and full. And I say all this, it's hopefully it'll be a happy Thanksgiving. Amen? And whatever plans you guys are making, I hope you guys have a happy Thanksgiving. With family, with friends. Plans made, place for everyone, food for everyone. Everyone nice and clean and polished, enough for a good group photo, right? And hopefully all good announcements. What I hope for you guys. Not everyone can stay to the end. No one gets sick. No one gets in a fight and an argument and leaves. And I mean, it happens. If it happened to Jesus, what makes you think it won't happen to you guys? So I pray that you all have a happy Thanksgiving. And I just want to end with this, that one day, we will have a happy Thanksgiving in heaven with Jesus. The Bible calls it the marriage supper of the Lamb. Chester alluded to it during Sabbath school this morning. And I'm the master of the house is preparing a place for us. He is. And there's a place for each of us. Even if we haven't accepted the invitation yet, there's already a spot waiting, just in case you say yes. Amen? And that is good news. Even though we haven't said yes yet, just like my sister, we had asked her, 2 months ago? maybe. Hey, you want to join us? Oh, no, we'll be there Sunday. And then she calls, yes, we'll come. Fantastic. And we'll be cleaned up, won't we? We'll be cleaned up. We've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He's going to wash us and make us clean in the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says in Revelation 7, he describes these people. Who are these? He says, these are those who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And in heaven, when we're at that marriage supper, we will all eat freely. There won't be a limitation. It'll all be super healthy, super nutritious, right? And we'll even get to eat from the tree of life. That's pretty exciting. At that supper, I pray there'll be no sad announcements. I pray that we will all be there. That we won't have to say, so-and-so betrayed Jesus and didn't make it. I hope there's no announcements like that. I don't think there will, but I pray that all of us are there. Amen? And hopefully, by that time, there'll be only happiness and joy. I pray we will all be there. And that's it. Probably the shortest or second shortest message I've shared here in Traverse City. Hope you're not disappointed. But that supper, again, my prayer is that you reflect on those things that took place that we read from the scripture, that will be like Peter. He said he was reluctant at first, but then he said, fine, wash all of me. I hope that's our prayer rather than betraying Christ. Amen. Thank you, Chris. Now, for the ordinance of humility, we call it also the foot washing. Jesus left the disciples an example of what he wanted us to do for one another. And so we practice what we call the ordinance of humility, and we wash one another's feet. And for that, we divide up. We'll dismiss from the sanctuary. We'll divide up into different places. For the ladies, you pair up with a partner, and you'll be in the multi-purpose room where we have our potlucks. For the men, you also pair up with one another, and you'll go in the youth room. If you go down that hall, it's the very first door after the double doors on your left. And for couples, married couples, you go into the adult Sabbath school room, all the way down that hall, last door on your right. And that's where we wash one another's feet after the example that Jesus left us, to humble ourselves before one another and serve each other in a menial task of washing each other's feet. Okay? And you pray together and you come back reverently in here, and we'll partake of the communion service. Now, one thing I think I forgot to mention last time, communion service is open to all, whether you're a member or not of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And you're all welcome. Even if you've never participated, you're welcome to come, even to observe, or, you know, so if you don't feel comfortable doing it just yet, you can still observe. But I encourage each of you to participate after the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So with that, we will have a prayer and dismiss for the foot washing service. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you again for the Lord's Supper, for the ordinance of humility, and the example Jesus left to us to serve both in foot washing and also the bread and the juice symbolizing his body and blood, but also the good news that one day soon we'll be able to eat with you in the heavenly kingdom. The marriage supper of the Lamb. We thank you for that promise. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.